Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Psalm chapter number 43. Psalm chapter number 43. Once you arrive there, find verse number 1. Psalm chapter 43, verse number 1. The sermon tonight is called The Altar of God. The Altar of God. Psalm chapter 43, starting with verse number 1. Once you find it, would you please stand? Psalm chapter 43, if you'll stand up. Psalm chapter 43, starting with verse number 1, it says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Take the simple truth and use it to better us. God, you don't need any improvement, but we sure do. Lord, you don't need any encouragement, but we do. So, Father, we come to you and ask you that you would help us. Holy Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you, thank you that you live within us. Encourage us from within that we might live right on the outside. Now bless us and bless this sermon, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were listening there in Psalm 43, verse number 4, it said, "Then will I go unto the altar of God." A little while later, he even talks then about the joy that can result in going to the altar of God. The altar in the Bible was a place where the people met God. Here in our church, the area that's set up for the altar is this down front here. We consider this the altar. It's a place where we come when we're making decisions for God and with God. The altar in the Bible was a place of sacrifice. The altar in the Bible was a place of obedience. The altar in the Bible was a place where God was met in a unique and a special way. Of course, God's with you wherever you're at. But the altar was a place that was given where someone could feel maybe a little closer to God at that moment. I did not create the idea of an altar. No preacher did. It's in the Bible, and it's throughout the Bible. Starts out all the way in the book of Genesis. You're going to find it and hear of the altar. And it goes all the way through the last book of the Bible, which is the book of Revelation, talking about the altar of God. Listen to a couple verses that mention God's altar. In Exodus 29, verse 37, it says, "7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. It shall be an altar most holy. Whosoever toucheth the altar shall be holy." Now here the Bible says this place called the altar was to be a holy place. Boys and girls, look up here. Teenagers, look up here and listen to me for a second. If you come to the altar, God would not want you to come to the altar and play. You say, why? The altar is to be a holy place. Now, every place is to be a holy place, but uniquely, God said, when you come to the altar, I think he wanted us to be a little bit more serious-minded. And so when you come to the altar, don't come and play. You come and pray. God said, it's a holy place. Then, in Revelation chapter 8, verse number 3, it says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar." Here God's telling us that the altar is a place of prayer. That's why so often when we give an invitation in church, people come to the altar, and they don't play and laugh. They come and they take a moment and pray. I realize you say, well, I can pray in my seat. I know you can. I'm just obligated to tell you there's a place called the altar, and for some reason God wanted us to use the altar, and he wanted there to be some movement, and that altar was a place where someone in a unique way would meet God. You say, why, Pastor? I wonder if the altar is not a place of humility. You say, but Pastor, if I use the altar, someone might think I'm a sinner. Well, we wouldn't want anybody to think that, would we? Especially not you. The altar is a place of humility. I think the altar is it's given as a place of submission. The altar is given as it's a place of self-inspection. The altar is a place of confession. I think the altar is a place of security. I think the altar is a place of sobriety. And when I say sobriety, I'm not talking about you're not tipsy. I'm talking about you're serious-minded about your decision. The altar is a place of decision. I've made a lot of decisions in a lot of places, but I will tell you, I've spent plenty of time at the altar. I pray for our church. I think you all know. I pray for you every day. I pray for you by name every day. But there are many, many times when I'm here in this church building alone, and I'm here in this auditorium praying at this altar. There are many, many times I'll come in here and I'll pray for our church services as I kneel behind this pulpit. There's something about the altar. I'm not trying to make it spooky, but I am telling you, God created this thought of the altar, and it has a purpose, and God has a purpose for it. I happen to believe there are some things that we could bring to the altar, and we could leave them at the altar. I'll give you a passage of Scripture. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24, speaking of someone coming to the altar, listen to what it says. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Here God said somebody brought a gift to the altar, and then they realized they were at odds with someone, or someone was at odds with them, and God said, leave the gift there, and you go get yourself right with that brother that you're not right with. But he said, leave the gift there. In other words, I think God said there are things that should and could be taken to the altar and left at the altar. You say, well, Pastor, what could I bring to the altar and leave at the altar? You could bring your rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior to the altar, and you could leave it there. You say, what do you mean? Well, if you're not saved, if you'll come to the altar tonight, we can take a Bible and show you how to get born again. You could virtually leave the hell that you were heading toward at the altar and get up and walk away from the altar on your way to heaven. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. Our church is a soul-winning church. In other words, we go out into the highways and the hedges and tell people about Jesus Christ. We go everywhere telling people about Jesus. And you know something? Somebody can get saved out here in our church parking lot. That just happened the other day. Somebody can get saved in the church parking lot. They can get saved over at the Food Lion. They can get saved on the street corner. And we are a soul-winning church. But wait, I never want to leave out the fact that people come to God's house where they can get born again. And you often watch it happen. Someone will come here unsaved, and they'll come forward and will kneel at the altar. They knelt on their way to hell. They left that hell behind as they stood up, born-again Christians, and on their way to heaven. So there are some things you can leave at the altar. You could leave your destiny of hell there and get up and go forth a born-again Christian. But not only that, I wonder if God did not intend for us to come to the altar and then leave some sin at the altar. And you say, leave it? Uh-huh. You come down here guilty of it, get it right with God, get up, just leave that here, and go home without that sin, that sin's intent in your life. The Bible says in Psalm 4:4, stand in awe and sin not. In other words, we ought to be in awe of the holiness of God. And we should be doing everything we can to take the sin out of our life. I think you can take a sin out of your life at home, at your kitchen table, while you're having a cup of coffee, reading your Bible. I think you can do that. And I think you should do that. If you're at lunch at work, and all of a sudden God speaks to your heart, and you realize there's a sin in your life, I'd get that sin out of your life right then and right there. But I have to tell you, folks, multitudes of people have walked an aisle in an old-fashioned Baptist church, knelt at an altar about their sin, stood up after having confessed and telling God, I don't want to do that anymore, and walked away and had a successful life leaving that sin at the altar. Is the altar magic? No, it's not magic. But for some reason, God spoke of an altar. And I really think this. I can remember through the years, there have been many, many times in my life when I went to the altar under conviction for my sin. And I met and met with God and talked to God. And I've had some victories over sin down there at the altar. I can't figure it out. I don't know all about it. I just know God created the altar and He told us what it was for. It's a place to pray. And there's some things that ought to be taken care of at the altar. And when we walk away, those things ought to be changed. So we could virtually leave them at the altar. Is there a sin in your life? Do you really need to come to the point where you say, God, I'm going to take that sin out of my life? Maybe you need to walk the aisle, come to this altar, tell God that you're wrong, ask Him for His help, and tell Him you plan to leave that behind. And you don't plan to commit that sin any longer. I'll never forget this. It's hilarious. It wasn't here at our church. I was preaching away at another church, and I had thrown a great big fit about the sins in our lives. And I threw a fit about smoking cigarettes. And that's not my sermon tonight. But I did throw a fit about smoking cigarettes. And boy, I gave the altar call, and I watched a lady. She's sitting toward the back. I watched her get up. She reached into her purse. She pulled out a pack of cigarettes. She walked down to the altar, got on her knees at the altar, and I said, you ought to bring your sin down here and just leave it at the altar. And she brought her cigarettes down. She left them at the altar. She prayed. She got up with a big smile on her face and walked away. Then I watched another bus lady from right back here get up, come up, get on her knees, grab that pack of cigarettes, put it in her pocket, and walk back to her pew. Well, I helped one. There are people in this room, you've been in church for a long time. Don't ever lose a respect, and don't ever lose what that altar stands for. You know, young people, there's a reason why we don't play at the altar. It's a place where people do business for God. And so I think one could leave their lost condition at the altar and get up and walk away on their way to heaven. I think someone could leave their sin at the altar. I think this. I think you could leave tears at the altar. And I'm not talking about giving them up. I'm talking about just letting them flow. The Bible says in Psalm 42:3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Folks, it's still right to weep tears. Tears for the lost, tears for our heartaches, tears for people. I'm not much for weeping tears for things, but I think we ought to weep tears for people. And it's a good place. And I know you can weep in private, but I would recommend something to you. Just be careful that you don't become too proud. God gives us tears. This altar is a place where people can shed tears. Now let me say to everybody here, look, if someone comes to the altar and God has touched their heart, or they have a broken heart, or they have a heavy heart, and they weep, that's okay. Don't make them feel out of place. Don't stare at them and make them feel uncomfortable. Now, I don't want you to come down here and weep and start rolling all over the floor and thrashing around and making a scene. But if you need to weep, this altar is a good place to do it. And you can come and leave tears at the altar of God. But not only that. I like this because I think we can come to the altar having fears. And we can leave some of our fears behind. And we can stand up and go on our way with victory and confidence from the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, when it talks about that sound mind, sometimes our fears play with the soundness of our mind, our confidence, our strengths, our faith. Sometimes we need to come to the altar with a fear. We bring it to God and we ask God to give us strength and faith and confidence. And we decide we're going to do the best that we can to leave that fear behind, stand up, and go live victoriously for our Lord. I believe God does that. I believe God can do that. I had a parent that said to me, Pastor, I have a 7-year-old girl. and she is scared to death of the dark. Would you please talk with her? I said, yeah, you and your husband come by and bring her by and we'll talk a little bit. And we talked for a little while and we talked about the dark and how Jesus is there in the dark. And I realized the girl was still wavering a little bit. I said, you know what I'd do if I were you? If I were you, I would ask Mom, the next time we have an altar call, why don't you and Mom come to the altar and you come down and you pray at the altar and you tell Jesus you don't want to be scared in the dark anymore and you're just going to stop being scared. She said, I'll do that. That wasn't but a church service later. Here come the little girl and Mom. They came down. They got on their knees. I knew what she was praying. I was pretty interested on what was going to happen in the days to come. The next church service, Mom came to me and she said, Pastor, I can't believe it. She has got a confidence now and she's not scared like she used to be. You know what? She brought her fear to the Lord at the altar. Now, you say, oh boy, that's a bunch of tomfoolery. No, that's God. That's God. And I don't think the altar is a mystical place. I don't think the altar is a magical place. But I think the altar is a place where God sees our humility. I think He sees our obedience. I think He sees our need. He sees our tender heart. And I think God reaches down with a little extra help because of the use of the altar. I fear something. I can tell a lot about a church at the altar call time. You know, you don't have to be a great pastor to get an altar full. You have to have people with sincere hearts. I go to churches, and when I go to a church and you give the altar call, and I'm thinking, boy, the sermon I just preached, I laid a royal dozen of eggs. That was just terrible. But you know what? If the people's hearts are tender, they use the altar anyway because they're used to using the altar. But when I go to a church and nobody uses the altar, I always worry. I worry for that church. I think, does no one need God in a special way? Now, I don't think you have to have someone to come to the altar every single service. But I would say most of the time there's somebody that has a need, and that need may need shared with God in a special way. And God gave us a place to do it. He calls it the altar. So, might I say, and I'm not done with my sermon, but let me say to everybody in here, we're an old-fashioned church. You say, how old-fashioned? Well, we go all the way back to the Bible, and that's pretty old-fashioned, and they talk about the altar all the way through the Bible. Let's never let it be so that someone is looked oddly because they use the altar. Let's never let it be so that the altar call becomes unimportant in our church. You know, we have altar calls. We have altar calls in children's churches around here. And in Youth Ablaze. And we have a time where we give people a chance to use the altar. You could bring your destiny of hell to the altar and walk away saved and leave it behind. You could bring your sin here, confess it to God, and get up and walk away and say, with God's help, I'll never do that again. You could soak the altar with tears and leave some tears behind because of a tender or a burdened heart. You could bring your fears to the altar and God could help you with those fears. And I've actually seen people with fears leave the altar with confidence and strength and faith that they never had before. There's something else that we might need to leave at the altar. We might need to leave our own will at the altar. Our own will. John 7:17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Here God's talking about our doing God's will. Folks, Jeff Owens is Jeff Owens' biggest enemy in life. And just so you know, your biggest enemy is probably you too. Nobody can make me do anything that I'm not going to allow myself to do. But I've got to be real careful. I have a will. I'm not to be in Jeff Owens' will. I'm to be in God's will. You are not to be in your will. You are to be in God's will. You say, but Pastor, my will for me is not bad. Well, God's will for you is perfect. So we're not debating whether it's good or bad. We're debating, is it God's or is it yours? And if I were going to trust somebody, I learned a long time ago, I'm better off trusting God than even me trusting me. It might be that somebody needs to walk the aisle and go to the altar and leave your will there and say, God, I don't want my will anymore. I want your will in my life. So you could leave your will at the altar. You could leave your fears at the altar. You could leave your tears at the altar. You could leave sin at the altar. You could leave your rejection of Jesus Christ at the altar. Get born again and know for a fact that you're on your way to heaven. But not only that, I think we could probably leave our weaknesses, our non-sinful habits. You could even leave some of those at the altar. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." There's a couple of things talked about here. It talks about sin, but I'm not really talking about that. God said there are some things that weigh us down. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they are what we'd call terrible sins. They're just things that weigh us down. If you were going to run a 100-yard dash, would it be a sin if I handed you a 50-pound bag of potatoes to carry with you? Wouldn't be sin. Just wouldn't be real smart. It wouldn't be productive. You wouldn't get the most out of your race because you're carrying that thing. Now, there are people under the sound of my voice. I don't have to preach to you about going out and smoking dope and that being a sin in your life. I don't have to because you don't do that. I don't have to worry. You're not planning to rob a bank, and you don't have a machine gun that you're going to use to get it done. I don't have to worry about that. But I can tell you this. I think there are probably people under the sound of my voice that you're trying to run a race for God, and you carry a 50-pound bag of potatoes with you everywhere you go. You let some things in life weigh you down that keep you from serving God. Let me tell you something, folks. Be careful with your finances. If you're not careful with your finances, here's what will happen to you. You'll get in financial debt so deep that you have to work 12, 15 hours a day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, and suddenly you don't have time to serve God anymore because you're so busy taking care of your finances. What are we talking about? A weight. A weight. That doesn't mean you went out and bought, you didn't buy a semi truck full of Budweiser. You might have bought something nice. It wasn't sinful. It's just now that thing has weighed you down so much that you're trying to run a race for God, but you don't have time to run the race. You don't have the energy to run the race. I think there are things in life that are not necessarily what we would call sinful, but they're unwise. And they weigh us down. And I'm not going to try to go through a list of those things, but is there something in your life that doesn't necessarily have to be there? It's not sinful, but it's there. And because it's there, you don't serve God. You don't do what you ought to do for God because of that thing. It might be you need to take something that's not sinful, that could get in your road, and bring it to the altar and leave it there and say, God, I need to remove this from my life so I have time to serve you, or I have energy to serve you, or so that I have to give to you. I know this will seem hard to believe, but I pastored a man that owned a bunch of horses, and he loved horses. But he was so busy attending to his horses, he wasn't faithful to church. And one day he told me, he said, I love my horses. He said, Pastor, are my horses sinful? I said, no. I said, but boy, you love those horses so much. You're in church rarely, and you always tell me you're attending to the horses. I said, I think if I were you, I might get rid of a horse or two and see if you could figure out a way to get God in your life a little bit more. He said, but my horses are not sinful. I said, but they're a weight. They're a weight. Is there something in your life that is weighing you down, and it's not necessarily what we'd call sinful? But if you're not careful, it could turn out to be sinful because it keeps you from doing the things you ought to do for God. it maybe you ought to go to the altar and say, God, I need to adjust something in my life because and leave that non-sinful, maybe what we'll call a weakness at the altar. But not only that, we could leave our burdens at the altar. The Bible says in Psalm 55, number 2, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. We sing the song, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Listen, if you have a burden, if you have a heartache, don't ever be afraid to use this altar. There have been times when I have been to church and my heart was weighed down heavily with a burden, and I used the altar, and I'll tell you something. I took that burden to God. I said, God, I'm going to need to give this to you. It's going to destroy me. It's going to destroy my thinking. It's going to destroy my life. God, I'm going to have to give you this burden. I'll let you carry it because I'm not doing a real good job of carrying this burden. There have been times where I just went through that process and I got up off of my knees and walked away and I said, Lord, you've got to take that thing. I'm leaving it there because I don't want this to destroy me because it's such a heavy burden. You might be shocked. You say, well, wonder if I don't get what if I don't get rid of the whole thing? Well, get rid of half of it down here. You're better off that way. And if, some of you know what I'm saying. Sometimes you don't get rid of the whole thing at the altar, but you get rid of some of it. You walk away saying, Lord, I think I did get a little bit more strength out of that thing. We can take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Did you know the things in life that you can't change, you should be very careful letting those things destroy you. Now, if there's something that I can change, I better be working on that. But look, there's some things that you can't change. And it might be wise for some of you to come to the altar and say, Lord, I can't change this. Help me. When I get up from my knees, I just can't carry the full weight of this thing that I can't change. And you leave it to God, and you let God take care of that. But not only that, I think we could take our flesh to the altar and leave it there. The Bible says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Folks, I think every once in a while, every Christian needs to walk the aisle at church, get on their knees, and push the reset button about walking in the Spirit. You see, every one of us have the Holy Spirit of God living within us, and that Spirit of God, we're to walk in that Spirit. That means it's a daily thing. That means He is guiding us on Monday morning and on Tuesday afternoon and on Wednesday evening and Thursday as we prepare for work and Friday when we're at the grocery store. Hey, the Spirit of God was not created just for church services. It was created for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anytime you're awake, we are to walk in the Spirit. And I think every once in a while, we ought to walk the aisle and we ought to push the reset button for walking in the Spirit. You say, well, if I'm not walking in the Spirit, how am I walking? You're walking in the flesh. Your flesh is your enemy. Your flesh, that's the carnal part of you. That's the old nature. We are to walk in the Spirit. And I really believe this. I believe there are people that have walked the aisle, and they've walked the aisle knowing they've been living in the flesh. They've got on their knees and said, God, I want to resurrender my life to your Spirit. And they get up and walk away in the Spirit, and they left that flesh, the thought of that flesh, behind. I think we're to take some things to the altar. I think in the best we know how, we're to leave them there. If you're lost, you ought to come to the altar and leave your destiny of hell there and get up and go on and live for Jesus Christ, knowing you've been born again. I think you could leave sin there. I think you could leave tears and fears. You could leave your will at the altar, your weaknesses, your burdens. You could leave your flesh. I'll give you one more, and then we'll be done for the night. I think it'd be a good idea for all of us from time to time to come to the altar and leave our pride there. Leave our pride there. Proverbs 29:23, the Bible says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Everybody needs a time when they humble themselves and go to the altar and just say, God, I need to get my pride under control. I need to leave my pride behind, and I need to humbly live my life. I've counseled virtually thousands and thousands of marriages in my day. Can I tell you something? Almost any time there are marital issues, pride's involved. Even if it's not pride that's creating the original tension between a husband and wife, someone's pride drew them away from God. That, therefore, the drawing away from God got the husband or the wife backslidden, which caused grief in the relationship. Hey, churches don't have problems when people are humble and in submission to God. Churches have problems when pride takes over. When pride, and when we want to exalt ourselves, or we want position, or we want authority, or we want to be in charge, or whatever the case, pride is destructive. So, every once in a while, we need to be reminded that we have pride issues, and it doesn't hurt to come to the altar and humbly say to God, God, I'm having a struggle. My pride has gotten out of control some, and God, you help me. Or maybe it's not some. Maybe you need to say, God, my pride's gotten out of control a lot, and I need to get it under control. And you leave that prideful attitude at the altar and stand up and go on your way with humility in your life. The Bible said the altar is a holy place. The Bible says the altar is a place of prayer. God even said, look, there are times when you ought to take something to the altar and leave it. Leave it. Get up and go have victory. Leave that place and go and live your life in a successful way for Christ. The sermon's simple. It's just called The Altar of God. Maybe you needed to understand the necessity of the altar. Remember, I didn't dream it up. I didn't create it. It's taught throughout the Bible. And churches of years gone by, they kept the use of the altar, and it was frequent. Folks, a part of the deterioration of Christianity today, they have this idea, if you ask people to use the altar, it's too humiliating to them. And therefore, there are churches, modern churches, that say, we're not going to do that anymore. I'm very sorry. God did not give us the right to change His way. And I think it's a good way, and it's a right way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, we'll have a song. It's an invitational song. And we're going to have what we call the altar call. If you need the altar, you're welcome to come. I'm not trying to get a big movement to the altar tonight. I'm trying to teach and preach the truth of the altar of God. But don't let the devil ever stop you from using the altar if you need it. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, and I'm not going to look. I'll just let God look. My head is bowed. My eyes are closed. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I believe tonight God's spoken to my heart. I probably need to use the altar a little more often. I need to let God see me use the altar. And God has spoken to my life and to my heart tonight about that very thing. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? And you can put that hand down. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, we'll have a time of altar call. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, I got a little pride in my life. I better take care of it. Maybe you need to weep a tear. If you're not saved, come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Is there a sin in your life? Do you need to come and say, God, help me. I've got to get this out of my life. Do you have fears? This is a good place to help alleviate fears. Maybe you need to come and bring your will to the altar. And then leave it behind. Say, God, I've got so many opinions about me and what I want and what I need. But God, I need to leave that behind. I need to leave that behind. And Father, I want your will. Is it a weakness that you need to leave behind? Is it a burden that you need to leave at the altar? Maybe it's your flesh. Are you walking in the flesh rather than in the spirit? If you're walking in the flesh, maybe you ought to walk down here in the flesh, get on your knees, submit yourself to the Spirit of God, leave the flesh the best you can behind, and walk out, walking in the Spirit. I've seen some pretty powerful things at the altar of God. I never want to turn the altar call into a show. We're not showboating. We're not trying to create an atmosphere, but we want God's atmosphere to feel at liberty and want God to be able to do what He wants to do during the altar call. I'm just sure there are people under the sound of my voice this evening who's come to an altar with a need and spent some time with God there and got up, and somehow they had a reprieve. Somehow they had the extra energy they needed. Somehow they got an answer that they needed. Somehow God, in a unique way, helped. A little extra help at the altar. Psalm 43, he said, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, and God my exceeding joy." Somehow, going to the altar had an eventual outcome for the psalmist that brought joy. That brought joy. He asked the question in Psalm 43, says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" In other words, there was a burden, there was a heartache, there was an issue. And the altar call helped to make a difference. It's a holy place, the altar is. It's a place of prayer. It's a place, I think, sometimes where God does some supernatural business. This is the last time through the song. We'll have a seat, take just a moment, and then we'll be on our way. Thank you. Have a seat if you will, folks.